Is anybody like that here?
Yeah, any Benny.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear. That every one of you, from now on, you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Who is the one fellow that you will stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Anointing allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn. There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. Please join us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God. You're watching Redemption Way.
Okay, lo ma lo, hey, any
Tonight I have been asked to speak on the purpose of victory. The purpose of victory. That assumes that somebody is going to be victorious tonight. Who is that fellow? Wave to the Almighty God and say, it's me, O Lord. Exodus chapter 8 verse 1. Exodus chapter 8 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Tell your neighbor, Pharaoh will let you go tonight. The purpose of victory. One of the great philosophers, I can't remember now whether it is Socrates or Plato, one of those great ones of the ancient days, said, the greatest problem of victory is what to do with it. Put in modern language, after you have become victorious, what next? After the year of Jubilee, after freedom, after release, after restoration, what next? Many people plan, for example, for a wedding. They even plan for a honeymoon after the wedding. Without planning for marital life. So there is a day of wedding, everybody is singing and dancing, cutting cakes. After that, husband and wife go for honeymoon. Then when the honeymoon is over, what next? No plans. So husband and wife return from honeymoon. And the husband says, darling, where's my breakfast? And Danny says, breakfast? So many girls get married and engineers, the people on my far right are clapping, and they are not clapping to say thank you daddy, they are clapping to say help us. Far right. Many girls plan for their wedding, not knowing that after the honeymoon, the wife is supposed to wake up an hour before the husband and prepare breakfast. Many people celebrate graduation, great day. Receive certificates, everybody say congratulations. Then, what next? What if I don't get a job? What do I do then? Many people plan for house dedication. And they have no plans
for maintenance. I remember like yesterday when I bought my first car. My friend said, congratulations, well done. He said, but from now on, keep your eye on the fuel gauge. You've got a car now. You have to fill it with fuel. You have to take it to the mechanic. Before you got a car, it's none of your business whether there's fuel shortage or not. And now you got a car, and the responsibility comes from it. Brethren, after Jubilee, what next? After victory, what next? After healing, what next? Because God is going to heal you during this convention. After deliverance, what next? After breakthrough, what next? Oh God, give me babies. I want a set of twins. And when the twins arrive and they say congratulations, after the joy comes the sleepless nights. There are categories of bondage, battles that people fight. There's physical bondage. Luke 13 verse 10 to 17. Luke 13 verse 10 to 17 tells us of a daughter of Abraham who had a spirit of infirmity, and the devil kept her bowed down together for 18 years. But the Lord came and set her free. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. 2 Kings 5 verse 1. Naaman was famous. Naaman was rich. But Naaman was a leper. He had a physical challenge. Then there is material bondage. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4 verse 1 to 7. The widow of the son of the prophet was healthy. No sickness in her house. The children were healthy. But they were destitute. And the creditors came and said, you don't pay our money at such a time, your children will be sold. And then, of course, we can have a combination of one and two, physical bondage and material bondage. In the case of Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34, tells us the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She had a physical challenge. The Bible says she suffered many things at the hand of physicians, spent all she had, and she still remained sick, and now she was penniless, physically in bondage, materially in bondage. And then, of course, there is spiritual bondage. We have the example of Mary Magdalene. She was healthy. She was wealthy. But she was demon possessed. Luke chapter 8. You can read it from verse 1 to 3. Luke 8, 1 to 3. And then, of course, we have a case where all three are rolled together, physical, material,
spiritual, as in the case of Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 15. Mark 5, verse 1 to 15 tells us the story of the madman of Gadara. Because he was possessed by 6,000 demons. He was homeless, so he was living in the graveyard. And of course, he was constantly cutting himself with stones. Physically, materially, spiritually, he was in bondage. But the good news tonight is that victory is possible. In fact, I want to go a step further to announce to you that victory is on your way. Because the God of Jubilee, who incidentally is also the God of the redeemed Christian Church of God, is here tonight. And according to Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, the Lord of hosts. He can set you free from any form of bondage. Physically, if you are sick, no matter the nature of sickness, even if you are incurable. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Matthew 8, verse 1 to 3 tells us that when a leper came unto him and said, "I know you can set me free, you can make me clean if you want," he said, "Of course, I'm willing." He touched him, and he became cleansed. Thank God for the testimony of our brother. When they tell you that you have cancer, that's to some people a death sentence. But with the Lord on the throne, any of you here tonight with any form of incurable disease, you will receive your healing. Materially, even if you are destitute, he can set you free. Because he said in John chapter 10, verse 10, John 10, verse 10, he said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, in the name that is above every other name." Poverty will become a stranger to you. And of course, if you are spiritually in bondage, if you are demon possessed, all he has to do is say a word. It's just one word. He said to the 6,000 demons in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 15. Mark 5, 1 to 15. "Go," that's all he said. And they all left. I'm speaking on behalf of my father tonight. And I say that all the demons that follow you here will not follow you back home. But victory has issues. Many issues attached to victory. And I will just mention, maybe just two, because of time. The first issue with victory is that the devil loves to attack immediately after a victory. The devil is a bad devil. You knock him down, immediately he wants to bounce off and attack again. I mean, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 to 37. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 to 37. David said, I was watching my father's flock. A lion came, grabbed one of the flock. I grabbed it by the beard, smote it, and killed it. You thought the devil would leave him alone after that? No. Immediately afterwards, came a bear. He killed the bear. So, okay. Satan said, if you can handle animals, let's give you a giant. And Goliath came on the scene. And by the special grace of the Almighty God, he killed Goliath also. And you think that's the end of the story? No. While David was celebrating the killing of Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6 to 11, 1 Samuel 18, verse 6 to 11, the devil assembled some women and gave them an impromptu song. Saul has killed his thousand. David has killed his 10,000. They composed the song on the spot. And from that day onward, David had a greater enemy than he had ever had before. His father-in-law, who tried to kill him several times. The most dangerous time in the life of anybody is immediately after a victory. Maybe because I know this is why I'm always afraid of celebrations. Celebration is good, provided there is somebody at least who is watching. 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 Immediately after a victory, the enemy wants to come in again. And I can give you several examples. Take the story of Moses taking the children of Israel to the promised land. Take the story of Joshua after the fall of the wall of Jericho. Go on and on and on. Take Gideon. After one victory comes another attack. That's one issue. But the issue that they asked me to speak on tonight, because of time, is exactly what do I do with victory? When I'm healed, what do I do next? John chapter 5, verse 2 to 14. John 5, verse 2 to 14. The man had been sick for 38 years. Jesus came and healed him. He went to the church, singing, dancing. Jesus met him and said, sir, you'll be made whole. Go and sin no more, or else something worse will happen. I've always told people, if you don't want to say goodbye to sin, ask God to leave you alone with your sickness. Because if he heals you, the corollary, all right, from now on, no more sin, or something worse than the one you have just been delivered from will come. What do I do after I'm delivered? Well, when you are delivered, of course, the first thing you should do is praise God. Exodus 15, from verse 1 to 11. Exodus 15, verse 1 to 11. After God delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea and drowned their enemies, they sang praises to God. What should I do when I'm delivered? Ask Mary Magdalene. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Luke 8, verse 1 to 3. As soon as God delivered her, she became a divine treasurer, so that we spend my resources to make sure that the ministry of God is supported. What do I do if I'm delivered? Ask the madman of Gadara. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Mark 5, verse 18 to 20. After he was delivered, after he came to his senses, after he was washed, and he was dressed, and he was in his right mind, he came to Jesus and said, "I will go with you wherever you go." Jesus said, "I have an assignment for you. Go and witness. Go and tell others what I've done for you." And the Bible says he went and proclaimed Jesus so much that he won the entire city unto the Lord. Because if you are delivered and you don't do something about it, you are delivered, you don't praise God, you are delivered, you don't begin to witness for the Almighty God. The Bible said the demons that have gone out will look for other places to stay. And when they can't find any, they will come back. And this time they won't come back alone. They will get seven more dangerous than themselves and bring them in. I pray for you in the name that's above every other name. Your deliverance will be permanent. Don't be like Samson. He was brought bound to the enemies. The enemies within, his relatives, bound him and brought him to the enemies without. But the Almighty God rose, fought his battles for him, and he was delivered. But what did he do? John 16, verse 1 to 3. John 16, verse 1 to 3. He just left the scene and went to a harlot's house to celebrate. That's why some people said nobody should pity him that Delilah got him. What do I do with victory? What do I do when breakthrough comes and I'm delivered from material bondage? Because it's a good thing to prosper. And I've already proclaimed tonight, and I'm saying it again, in the name that's above every other name, you will not die in poverty. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, Proverbs 1 verse 32 says, the prosperity of fools will destroy them. I mean, prosperity can destroy. Of course, it will destroy a fool, not a wise one. When you look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, Exodus 12, 35 and 36, the Bible tells us that when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, on that great night of deliverance, they went to the Egyptians and borrowed from them gold, raiment, jewelry of all time, tremendous wealth. The salary that Egypt had not paid their father for 430 years. They collected in one day. But what did they do with the money? Exodus 32, verse 1 to 6. Exodus 32, verse 1 to 6. One day they went to Aram. We want a God that we can see. And Aram said, no problem. Bring all your gold. The wealth you got in Egypt, bring them. And they gave to him. And he produced a golden calf. And said, behold, Israel, this is your God that led you out of captivity. I pray for you tonight. The kind of wealth that will lead to your destruction, may the Almighty God keep far away from you. That kind of wealth that you will have that will cause you to forget God, may the Almighty God keep it far from you. I don't have time to tell you stories tonight because I want you to pray. I could have told you stories upon stories of those who were strong Christians until the Lord prospered them, and then they forgot God. I know those of us who could pray like nobody's at night, when we were sleeping on mats. But now, we sleep on water beds. The rooms are air conditioned. Brother, why didn't you pray at night? Oh, the air was so cool. I know those of us who used to fast and pray because it was easy to fast, because there wasn't much to eat anyway, so when we were not fasting, it was 101, if you know what that one means. Then prosperity came. I met one of my fellow brothers. And I couldn't believe who I was looking at. I looked at him. Is it you? He said, it's me. He said, what's the problem? And because he has become almost 5 times his normal size. What happened? He said, well, the Lord is good. The prosperity that will take you away from the Almighty God, the prosperity that will cause you to forget the one who prospers, the Almighty God will never let it come to you. And I decree tonight, if you have already got it, may my Father take it away from you. Because he said in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, Zechariah 1 verse 17, it tells us what we are to use the prosperity for. He said, my cities will be built all over the world. In other words, you will build churches with prosperity. That's the purpose. The word of God says you can have prosperity and enjoy it for the rest of your life, provided you obey him and serve him. Job chapter 36 verse 11. Job 36 verse 11. He says, if they will obey and serve him, they will spend their years in pleasure and their days in prosperity. God wants you to prosper, provided you are going to use it to serve him. What are you to do with victory? Because you are going to be victorious tonight in Jesus' name. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 2, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 to 2, the Bible tells us that after David defeated Goliath and King Saul became his enemy, he ran and went to hide himself in the cave of Adullam. And vagabonds gathered themselves to him. Those who are in distress, those who are in debt, those who are hopeless, they gathered to him. Anyone who is coming to collect his debt from me will have to deal with the giant killer. They gathered themselves to David. And he turned them to mighty men. So that by the time you get to 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel 23, you can read it from verse 8 to the end. The same hopeless people have become the mighty men of David. Almighty God wants you to go into all the world and make disciples of nations. The Almighty God wants you to open your houses up for house fellowship so that people can come and be taught on how to become disciples of Jesus. The Almighty God wants to prosper you so you can build churches. He wants to prosper you so that you can witness and tell people, I was poor, now I am rich, and it is Jesus who made it possible. The Lord wants to prosper you so you can sponsor television ministries, so you can send people to the Bible college, so you can send people to the mission school. God wants to prosper you so you can do the work of God. Now that you know what to do with victory, you can now demand from Pharaoh. You can now say to Pharaoh, that is whatever represents Pharaoh in your life, sickness, disease, poverty, demons, barrenness, whatever is not allowing your joy to be full, whatever is not allowing you to go higher. You can now say to Pharaoh, hear the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Pharaoh, let Adeboye go, that he may serve me. You know, one of the things I like about the Almighty God is that when he arises to fight for you, he can do a very good job. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22 to 23, Exodus 4, 22 to 23, he told Moses, Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn. Let Israel go. If you will not let Israel go, I will kill your firstborn. After that, Israel will still go. Oh Lord. Tell your neighbor, my Pharaoh is in trouble tonight. Because whether he likes it or not, I am going. So if you are out there and you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, you better pull your ears and run now and come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Because tonight, the Lord of hosts is going to fight. And if you are not on the right side of God, he might include you among those that he will fight. I've always told my people, when we say let God arise and his enemies be scattered, you better be sure you are not one of the enemies. Because he will arise and he will scatter his enemies. So if you are not yet born again, I appeal to you in your own interest. Run forward now. Come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let his blood wipe away your sins so that you can become one of his children. And then when he arises, it will be to bless you, not to destroy you. Because our God, who is love, is also the consuming fire. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, come now.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking?
Oh yes, this is your day of salvation. And after salvation will come deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Keep calling on him. Ask him to be merciful. Ask him to save your soul. Ask him to forgive your sins. Tell him you are tired of being the enemy of God. You want to go free. You want to go higher. Ask him to please, Lord, save my soul. Cleanse me, your blood. Forgive me, O Lord, forgive me. I will serve you from now on. Soon as you free me from my sin, I will serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your children who have come forward tonight. I want to thank you for your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. These your children are here. They say we are tired of being the enemies of God. We want to become his children. Please receive them in Jesus' name.
Forgive them in Jesus' name. Cleanse them in your blood in Jesus' name. Save their souls and write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. And from now on, Lord, please, don't let them ever go back into the world in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
You're watching Redemption Way. There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship.
Surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46 Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
Welcome you specially to the Open Heavens International Center. I tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout
the anointing in that house is awesome.
Join us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.